Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no, you're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Friday edition. The positives and the negatives edition to the Packers 34-31 loss to the Detroit Lions at Ford Field edition. I've done this a long time, and I'm always amazed that there are things that happen where I can say I've never seen that before. This thing that happened before the game, we'll get into the game, but wow. If you haven't seen this, I think you're going to find it interesting. Edition. Are the Packers right in being so confident that if they see the Lions again, they're going to beat them? Edition. And the where in the world is Mark Tauscher? You're going to get a lot of me on video today. Edition. Of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker. Streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And, of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And from an undisclosed location that really is undisclosed, at least to me, it is the Packers Hall of Famer. It's Mark Tauscher. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Yeah, we got a little hockey action today, so I'm bouncing around. So I'm unfortunately...
Drop the puck.
I forgot to charge my iPad. So... My bad
what?
For OT. Yeah, I screwed up. I had it. I thought it was sitting on a charger. I thought it was all good. And then as I've been bouncing around, I went to connect at 8:50-something this morning. And what are we doing here? So, Jesse, normally I love to blame you. This is all old me. Old T is the problem here. But I digress. Missed opportunities last night. I don't think... You know, talking in the post game and hearing fans, there's a lot of frustration, but I think there is a lot of us that think it's not like there's some monster gulch between the Packers and the Lions. The Lions are better right now. They are.
They are.
They don't make the mistakes. They figured things out. But as far as that game last night, that was a great game.
That was great.
A fun watch. It was everything that's really good. Take some officiating out of it. Everything that was really good about that, you had guys giving body blows and back and forth. It kind of, the second half is how I thought the whole game should have been. And for all of us that are, you know, complaining about the refs, and I am not one. I just, at some point I put it out there because everybody was complaining, putting stuff up about the OPI. And listen, there were some calls that went against Green Bay, but there were also some calls that went against Detroit. The critical pass interference. Do we really think Detroit wasn't going to go out and score a touchdown at the end of the game? I think they would have. So there's all these other things. The bottom line is the offense needed to be great last night, and they weren't. They were good. The defense needed to put pressure on Jared Goff. They didn't. And the formula for how Detroit won last night was they protected Jared Goff, and he had a really good night, and the Packers stunk on offense in the first half. They stunk. That was not, they got out, you know, we had Balaga, Dybak, City, and Vani on last night on our players only in the first half. And to a T, every one of us was like, yeah, they're getting whooped up front. And so all of the other stuff, the bottom line is we started too slow in a game you couldn't afford to do it. And that's why, even though you had more than enough opportunities in the second half to win, I look at it as two-pronged as far as why we didn't get it done last night. And it's we didn't get near enough or any pressure on Jared Goff. Mm-hmm. And we stunk on offense in the first half. That's the reason we didn't win that game last night.
Well, Matt LaFleur and Jordan Love agree with you, because for a game that came down to the final play as Jake Bates kicks the 35-yarder to win it, they were both lamenting early on.
Yep.
And the punt, fumble that their three drives went to start the game. They also had that possession where they had to burn a timeout in the second half, which would have come in handy, and then they still didn't pick up the first down anyway, and they end up punting at the end of that drive. So those were the critical mistakes. There, you're juiced up today. I can feel it. You got a lot of energy.
I am.
Even though, unlike your iPad.
Yeah, that got more juice. So there's a couple of things, and Jesse last night at midnight, God bless you, Jesse, volleyball, doing post game like you
oh
are.
My God, the first game went five sets. I had so much airtime last night. We went, our pregame show is an hour and 15 minutes. We went through like the entire first quarter of the Packers game.
I'm not gonna lie to you, Jesse. I was trying to compliment you. I wasn't looking for a volleyball breakdown of Georgia Tech beating Fairfield or
Tennessee.
Whatever.
Big win
for
the Jackets.
We'll get to volleyball later when I'm off the show. You guys break that down all you want. But Jesse, anyways,
are you leaving early?
And Jesse, yeah, actually, I have to. Jesse, the question you posed, because Homer last night came right out of the gates after my opening statement and everything, and basically saying Dan Campbell's going to cost the Lions a championship. And you put out there, would you rather as a Packer? And it's a great question, because I had somebody call in last night saying Matt LaFleur ain't going to get it done. He just doesn't go for it enough. He's not enough of a riverboat gambler. I thought Dan Campbell was an idiot for not kicking a field goal last night. And it turns out he was a genius, but it's not always going to be genius. And he went for it on fourth and one. And by the way, if the tight end picks up the middle linebacker, that might have been a touchdown for Gibbs. So Detroit is a gambling team. And those fourth down conversions were the gut punches that knocked out the Packers' run defense last night was fantastic. I thought it was fantastic. For as good as they are, I thought they held up and did their end, but you rob Paul to pay Peter, because by doing that and going with, if you look, they did a lot of bare front. They had a lot of big guys in there to stop that. The pass rush wasn't there. And for a team that struggled with that anyways, we're going to have to, when we play them again, we have to do something different. I actually would say maybe give up a little bit more in the run game and see if Detroit is patient enough. Because letting Goff sit back there last night was not the formula to win. But do Packer fans love the way Dan Campbell coaches? Because I sense that they do until they don't, if that makes any sense.
All right. So I love your energy. There's so much to unpack from this game, and this is a rarity where we get to do it after a Thursday night game, and it's such a great game on top of it.
Oh, it was fun.
Because that's
fun
not
game.
Always... Not always the case on Thursday nights. I don't even know where to start with you.
Jesse, how did Wake Forest win that fifth set?
Georgia Tech.
Georgia Tech.
Tennessee down two sets to one. Match point. Then they almost win it. Crazy.
Wow.
That would have been a stunner, no doubt about it. So
going to be tough after five to come back tonight and play back-to-back.
I wore out down at the Fieldhouse, yep.
All right, so I want to start here for now, and then we'll do positives and negatives, and we'll talk more about officiating, about Matt LaFleur. I had a great conversation with Chewy and Gabe this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, because kind of like Tausch is with all his pent-up energy this morning that he's letting loose now, I thought Matt LaFleur's engine was running really hot last night. Including getting into it with that idiot fan who was trash-talking when he was on the field to help wave the giant American flag. This is, I still can't believe this happened. And again, we'll get into that. But Tausch, I want to get back to the fourth down decisions, because I actually thought his decision, which was gutsy, but the game was tied. And I would love to know if it's 33-31 and they're trying to set up for the game-winning field goal, if he goes for it on that fourth down and gives the ball to Montgomery to get them closer for the field goal and to drain the clock so there's nothing left for Jordan Love. I didn't have as big of a problem with that, actually, as I had with the play you referenced, that if the tight end blocks Quay Walker, it might be a touchdown. But he didn't. And you're on your own 30-yard line. You are winning the game. Yep. You're in the lead. Like, if Homer is right, and I'm not saying he is, but that was the moment where I thought that's the kind of stuff, that's the kind of mistake that happens during the flow of the game, not in the final seconds, that you lose games on. Because you hand the ball to the Packers at the 30, and they go in and score, and now they're back in the lead again. Now, yep. I understand the Lions came back and took the lead again and everything. I get that. But that, I thought, was reckless. And I said it, I was by myself because everybody was in bed, but I said it when he did it. I couldn't believe that he did it there. I wasn't as blown away by what he did in the end, because I actually thought it was smart to not leave any time on the clock for Jordan Love, given the way their defense was playing, and given the way the Packers' offense was humming. So when you look at the fourth down calls, what is your bottom line on those two?
So here's the deal. The Lions, this is you're talking about a guy that came in talking about biting kneecaps and changing a culture. He has done that, and he's done it by doing it this way. He trusts his players. He holds them accountable, and he holds himself accountable. He wants to go down swinging. And for all of us that think it was reckless, I thought not kicking the field goal was reckless, but he felt like his defense wasn't going to stop Jordan Love, and he also felt like the only way to win this was to get it. And it wasn't about getting the ball 5 yards closer for his kicker. It's, I think, Acho, who's analyzing football, telling us we need to watch him to learn football. He's trying to say it was to get the field goal. No, it was to run the clock out.
Right, exactly.
No problem. That was just so. Not everybody's an expert. Let's put it that way. Anyways, he goes, and if you get stopped there, you're going to probably lose the game in regulation. But he builds this team and says, we're not going to play scared. And yes, we might cost ourselves a game or two by doing it, but we're going to win more and build this team and this thing this way that we are always attacking. We are going to take you out to the depths of the sea, and we're going to see how long you can go, because we're going to go a little bit longer. That's what they've done. And it's hard for me as a player to say, well, you know, that's reckless. As a fan and an observer, you don't kick that field goal, and you get Zane Williams comes in again and does the same thing, submarines and makes a play. Everybody today is like, you're an idiot. Why would you not kick the field goal? Go ahead and force Jordan Love to go 45, 50 yards, set up a long kick to tie the game. Because Dan Campbell didn't think his defense could hold up. He knew.
No, he didn't.
He knew they ran out of gas. He respects Jordan Love in this offense. And by the way, he believes in his offense. He believes in how he built this team, and that's why he did it. And Homer's point is, that's cute in the regular season because it's not that big a deal. We saw it in San Francisco last year. He did something very similar.
Right. I was just going to say that.
And it bit him. But that's the way. But you notice that team didn't give in and they weren't questioning it. They moved on. Because that's the core group. Now, as they get older and that window tightens, it's going to be tougher and tougher. And I think Dan Campbell, if he's playing the Bears, I think he kicks that field goal. It's all about his feel and how he thinks the game needs to be won. And they trust each other. So for as reckless as I think it is, I understand why he did it. And by the way, it worked, and he should be applauded for it. But I hope we get another crack at him. I hope he is that go after it. And I think Matt LaFleur probably needs to look at fourth and ones and fourth and twos against this team, especially if he's banged up on defense too, and maybe start thinking we need to maybe amp our aggressiveness up a little bit and not play a little play it passive. And I think that's what some Packer fans feel like last night was about.
All right, let's get to our positives and negatives next so we can get to calls. I feel like it's going to be a very heavy call day. And look, it's open-ended. We love it when you give positives, negatives, but whether you're sitting there thinking, boy, I wish Dan Campbell was the Packers coach, I want to hear that.
Think, Jason, how many people do you think feel that way?
I don't know other than what I see in the polling data, which Jesse posted that poll, and it's not close to a majority. Would you rather play football? I mean, basically, the question is, would you rather have Dan Campbell as the Packers coach or Matt LaFleur? 65% say Matt LaFleur.
Yes.
So I don't think
by
that
the way,
it's
put me in
a
that
runaway.
Club, and I respect the heck out of Dan Campbell in Detroit what they're doing. Totally. Yeah.
I agree with both those statements. Just like I agree when you say how great Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin are.
Well, ensure your home remains comfortable before we reach that brutal post-holiday winter. Yes, Santa Claus, that big jolly fella. St. Nick came to the house last night, but his elves didn't because they ain't qualified to build Pella Windows and Doors. Just too many options, too many customizations. We aren't at AI yet. You need Pella. So instead of going through that big red fella, take advantage of this Pella deal. Get as low as $19 per window, $81 per patio door per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends on New Year's Eve. Visit PellaWI.com to learn more.
We'll get to our positives, our negatives, and then your calls. Get in line now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So, I'm looking at a meme. You know, I love a good meme, old T.
You do.
It's of Dan Campbell on The Price is Right. And he's photoshopped in. And he just got 95 cents on the big wheel. And it's him saying, Drew, I'm going to spin. Which is really funny.
I would say that's probably a bit unfair. It was more like 75 cents. I somebody put it out there about it's kind of like you hit 17 and he caught a 4. On blackjack, but I also saw the one where he's got the, you know, his, I'm not even going to go down. There's a big wheelbarrow, and I'm sure you've seen that with some cojones. Bah! He deserves credit because it worked, but I am of the belief that was incredibly idiotic last night what he did, but it worked. And you're judged on not only your processes, but as a coach, you're judged on the feel and understanding what it takes to win the game. And he found a way to do it last night.
All right, so we can get to as many calls as possible, Tausch. What's your, if it's not just a positive or negative, if it's more your takeaways, but you had a lot on your mind as you came in hot, kind of like Matt LaFleur did into the game. What were the biggest things, positive, negative, indifferent, that really are top of mind for you?
So for me, positives, I thought our run defense was really good. That is a really good running football team. And they don't get a bunch of candy yards with their quarterback scrambling out. I know he had one run last night. That isn't Baltimore and Philly where the run game, the quarterback gets a bunch of, this is two backs, pound the football, they're good. And I thought Green Bay held up really well in that regard. I thought Jordan Love played a second half. That move, and I tweeted I didn't get the link. I didn't put the picture.
The jump cut throw.
That throw. I mean, I can't tell you how good that is. Like, that's quarterback. Tom Clements should put that. That is job one of what he has done. Jacobs misses the blitz pickup. The guy had him dead to rights. He sidesteps, keeps his eyes down the field, uses his footwork, gets in position, and throws a dot in a crunch time situation. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love, I think he is back. He's moving. I couldn't be more excited about that part of it. But on the negative front, the negative side, our pass rush, it's just got to be better. And I think at this point it is what it is. Jeff Hafley's going to have to figure some things out. This isn't going to do it. You can't let him.
Does he have
there.
To, Tausch, does he have to go? Look, we saw the stat yesterday that since Aiden Hutchinson's injury, the Lions had blitzed at a 40% clip, the highest in the league. Does Jeff Hafley have to say the same thing? Our guys aren't good enough. It's not because we lost our stud. It's because we're just not good enough. I need to be more aggressive. Does he have to do that?
He's got to mix it up and be. It can't be. It just there wasn't enough. You know, walking up linebacker, there just wasn't enough stress put on Jared Goff. I don't care how you go about doing it. There were times where, you know, Keyshawn Nixon came off the edge. You have to come up with those simulated pressures. It just, and the problem is Detroit is taking advantage of their run and the fact that Green Bay brought in big bodies and put in a position because they had to stop the run. I think you have to say, you know what, we're willing to give up some rush yards. We can't let Jared Goff get that comfortable because even though he threw the pick in a great kind of design and disguised coverage that Keyshawn made a great play on, you can't let him sit there. He got into way too good of a rhythm, and it was pretty much you knew what was coming. Our defense didn't have any answers for it. But my biggest negative was the O-line play in that first half. It was inexcusable, and I know it's loud. I know it's a hostile environment. You know, Zach Tom struggled. It was just not a good first half of football. And in a game that you knew you needed to score a lot of points, we can blame refs. We can blame a bunch of other stuff. The bottom line is you can't have that many empty possessions in a game where you know your offense needs to be the dogs. And they weren't. And that's a big reason why we didn't get it done last night.
All right, I'm gonna forfeit my positives and negatives so we can get some more calls, but I need to ask you about this right from the jump. And I know you guys did a great job on the Players Only, one of my favorite former Packers, Vonnie Holiday, joining you, which was great. So it wasn't just all you offensive line knuckleheads. But did you see this incident before the game?
No. No, I got started right as kick, so I missed that.
All right, so I retweeted it. You can find it when we get to a commercial break. Jesse, you've seen this?
I have, yes. It was weird.
So I thought all week long, and again, how he treats us is not important, okay? It's not about my feelings or if he's grumpy or whatever. I'm not saying it for that reason. But what I am saying is he felt a little, Tausch, puckery to me all week, right?
Yeah.
Big game.
Yeah.
And then, you know, he wants to take the shot play on the opening play. Jordan gets sacked for a 7-yard loss by Za'Darius Smith. He's, and again, I'm not saying he didn't have legitimate arguments, but he's getting after the officials about the OPI juxtaposition of not calling it on the Lions, calling it on Watson. He's throwing a really bad challenge flag.
Yeah, it was dumb again.
Which I didn't understand.
He needs somebody there that helps him with these challenges because he's just not good at it. It's not his strength.
But the NFL Network had this before the game. They're on the field, and there's a fan who is out there, a Lions fan in a Brian Branch jersey, who is out there to hold the flag for the national anthem, and he starts trash-talking the Packers sideline, and Matt LaFleur walks right up to him and says, "Get the F out of here." And Josh Jacobs is there. You know you're kind of a jerk when Bo Melton, one of the nicest people on the planet, is involved in telling you to get the hell out of here.
Oh, that's why he finished in front of my
guy. That's why he beat Jesse's guy. Of course, Jesse has to complain. Yeah, there's no place for that. But in the same respect, I get it. Emotions are hot. For everybody that's always thinks that we should all be choir boys, it is an emotional game. And fans shouldn't get to you, but when they're on the field holding the flag and do right that, I want a little piss and vinegar. I do.
So I agree with you, but my question is, do you think Matt LaFleur, because if we're gonna say, oh, Dan Campbell biting kneecaps going on fourth down, we love that, like what he did was kind of Dan Campbell-y, right?
You have to be who you are. And Matt LaFleur is a highly emotional cat. You see it. I mean, there were times that you'd be sitting there watching a sideline interview at halftime and you'd think, man, he's almost getting choked up. Like, that's part of who he is. And I want him to be authentically who he is. because that's the only way you can coach in this league. So if that's what he – obviously, it's a big game. And I think we saw that early in his career. I thought he was too chummy and buddy-buddy. And then we saw him kind of be a stone-faced killer out there in San Fran during the regular season. I think the big thing is be consistent. I don't want you – because players feed off of the coach's energy. And if a coach is calm and confident, players are going to probably be calm and confident. Now, everybody understands there's different levels to big games and everything else. I think if you let things go too far, players will feel that stress too. So I would say not the good thing is Green Bay plays Detroit, let's say in the divisional round or in the championship, which would be awesome. I think everybody signs up for that right now. I think you're going to be playing. It's going to have that house money vibe. They beat us twice. You're going to feel that, but nobody in that locker room believes that. I promise you, and you remember this, Jason, Atlanta Falcons, the year we went down there and beat them in 2011.
Mm-hmm.
I bet that locker room feels the same way. It's like, yeah, they beat us, but everything went their way. We're ready to go get them. I guarantee you that this team is chomping to get another look at this team. Promise you. And whether or not how it's going to shake out, Detroit's really good. And they deserve everything that they've earned everything that they've got. I have no problem with that. But this team, I hope Matt LaFleur goes into it with the idea of, all right, yeah, they got us. But, man, sometimes how does that old saying go? The rabbit got the gun got the rabbit, however that is. That's how I think the Packers are feeling about the Detroit Lions this morning.
All right, we'll get to your positives and negatives. My point is not – yes, I've never seen anything like that before. My point is, it felt like LaFleur, I just wondered if maybe, like I said, his engine was revving a little hot. And there were some things that, because look, the game comes down to their lack of execution, their lack of effectiveness, whatever you want to call it, on those opening three drives, right?
Yep.
The game ends on a game-winning field goal, but the table was set, and both Love and LaFleur set it by empty drives on their first three possessions. You get into a shootout, you can't have three empty possessions to start the game. You just can't, and that's what they both said. So that's not something that is revolutionary that I'm making that point. What would be revolutionary is if you took the time right now to sign up for a Fortrea clinical trial, get the money, then you could go back to Detroit for that NFC championship.
Get that Detroit pizza and go win a playoff game up in Detroit. Who's ready for that? If you need a little cash, head to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. Healthy adults, ages 18 to 60, BMI 18 to 32. Study, two stays, 15 nights, 7 follow-ups, $13,820 for your time and participation. Again, head over to FortreaClinicalTrials.com. That's Fortrea, F-O-R-T-R-E-A, clinicaltrials.com.
Your positives and negatives next, 844-770-3776. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch is brought to you by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Tito's makes the good stuff for good times. Find recipes, videos, and more at titosvodka.com. I see the light go past my shoulder on one less day from dying young. And I'm not afraid of getting older on one less day from dying young.
Before we get to your calls, I want to remind you, I know Paula's on her way there this morning because it's one of many stops she's got on her to-do list, and that's Fleet Farm. Now, I don't think she's going to take advantage of Milwaukee Deal Days, but you can. They're going on right now at Fleet Farm. Shop in-store to score huge savings on toolkits, combos, accessories, and more from a brand you know you can count on. Deals end December 11th, so be sure to hurry in for those exclusive Milwaukee savings at Fleet Farm. And she's not going to take advantage of this either. We're low on bubblers, though. She's going to get those. Ice fishing season is upon us, and Fleet Farm is your place to find all the best gear from all the best brands. Shop their huge selection of augers for sale! Augers for sale!
Stop stealing my bits.
Along with tip-ups and thousands of lures that you won't find anywhere else. You're stealing that from the guy from the children's book Caps for Sale. Come on.
Dude, if you think that I read the children's book Caps for Sale in the last 5 years, you're nuts.
Check out all the best ice fishing gear.
Can you say nuts on air, Jesse, or not? I got to make sure I know what's
okay.
We can all say. So I can't say I have to say the big game, and I can say
no.
This whole thing is so dumb. Just for the record,
does
so
it dumb. Piss you off?
I don't swear. It's just I don't do that on air. And just so you can't say that. What are you talking about? I can't say that. You say that word all the time.
You can't. You can
say it as a verb.
Yeah. You know what? Let's just move on. I'm irritated.
All right, let's get to your calls.
I can think of a word with a
pissed.
P that you are. Yeah.
No, you can't. I mean, unbelievable. Who's to say what's a noun and what's a verb in this new era, anyways?
I mean, it's pretty clearly defined.
Merriam-Webster.
Is it?
No, Webster.
No, Webster's full of blank.
Let's get your calls. Packers lose 34-31 to the Lions. I have drawn the comparison, as Tausch did earlier, to that Atlanta storyline in 2010. I was in that locker room. I was not in the locker room last night, but some of the quotes coming out of there that Domofsky and Huber sent me, they sound a lot like that 2010 team after they lost.
Boys, before we get to calls, quick one-word answer. Can this Green Bay Packers team win a Super Bowl this year, knowing the path they're going to have to go down? Yes or no?
Nope. Nope.
Jesse? Hello?
Jesse's not listening.
Oh, sorry. I was answering phones.
Oh,
we're
God.
Asking
All
for
right,
calls.
Move along.
Get on video.
Move
and he'll know
potatoes
that.
For sale. Oh, my gosh. All right. Go ahead.
There. In my opinion, and I've been saying it from the beginning of the season, I think they're still a year away. Now, they could arrive early. Other teams have done that.
Way
Maybe
to
they'll
hedge.
Do that.
Way to hedge.
But I think no.
I'm going to say this.
You said
Here's
one
what
word.
I'll say.
I said no, and then we nope. went to Jesse, who wasn't listening.
Jesse gave his best answer of the year. I'll say this. If we can avoid both Philly and Detroit, yes. If we have to play both, we're not getting there. That's what's going to happen.
Great. If we can play the Saints.
Can we play Tampa, Atlanta, and the Rams and win a Super Bowl?
I want to play San Fran. I'd rather do that. I don't want any part of Tampa.
Okay, so, if we can play the Bears or the Saints in the playoffs, we're in great shape.
Well, that's Giants.
That's this. Hey, by the way, that's this whole, well, if you got to play it, you never want to play a team three times. I'm like, no. If the team stinks, I'll play them 17 times. I don't mind. You know, so that whole motto, if the team's Green Bay, Detroit will not have a problem playing Green Bay, but I'm telling you right now, Green Bay is, I think, jacked up to get another crack at these boys, for sure.
And Dallas.
I'm telling you,
I'm glad Jesse joined the show. Thanks for joining us, Jesse.
Really run the Giants out of the gym in a playoff game. All right, so let's get to your calls. 844-770-3776. Let's start with Mike in Texas. Mike, thanks for holding on. Good morning. Welcome to Wildy and Tausch.
Good morning. All right, so first off, the positive is the way they rebounded. Love the offense. I mean, I thought this game was going to be a disaster. With the challenge, with the protection, it felt like that one game where Rodgers didn't even get a chance to get the ball out. So that was good. The negative, and I'm just going to throw some stats that I saw in terms of pressure. So they pressured the Goff 20.9% of his 41 dropbacks, and so he sacked 2.4%. And so by comparison, the NFL's lowest was the Panthers at 24.9%. So I don't understand why that happened. You know, I mean, obviously, I'm sure they're planning to pressure him, but their offensive line is better than we thought. I don't know.
No, their offensive line's good. Mm-hmm. We knew their offensive line was good.
Look, I just don't think Jeff Hafley believes in sending five or more after the quarterback. He just does. That's philosophically, he doesn't believe in that. And if that's what you believe, I get it. My point, and thanks for the call and for bringing this up, Mike, because it's interesting. Tausch, my question is, at some point, you have to acknowledge that what you're doing is not working. Now, complicating matters here is that you don't have Jair.
No Jair. No Cooper.
Then you lose Evan Williams. Then you lose Javon Bullard. So how eager are you to blitz when you got that cast of characters in the back end? Doesn't that affect? Doesn't one affect the other?
100%. It doesn't. I think Evan Williams going out with the concussion really hurt. No Jair. And I just don't know how much you can trust that you're ever going to have Jair.
Right.
I was. So here's the thing. And again, this is where perception and reality are two different things. Hire Jeff Hafley. Oh, what did he do at BC? Oh, he was aggressive, man to man, all this other stuff. He must, with the talent that he has, looks at it, we got to play zone. Because they play a ton of zone, and there's holes in the middle of the defense because Detroit does a good job with its play action, everything else. So at this point, this is what our defense is. Now, if you get Cooper back and you get Jair back and you feel like you can maybe play a little more press man, maybe that'll be different. But I don't think this is kind of where we're at. And we're just against good offensive lines. We're not getting enough pressure. That's abundantly clear. And at some point, we have to figure out different ways to make more of an impact with this pass rush, because this, what we saw last night, ain't going to get it done, guys. It's just not.
Let's keep going with the calls, because I know we're going to have a lot of them all show long. 844-770-3776. I would ask that we can be at least a little concise, just so we can get as many people in as we can.
Well, that's rich. Jeez. That's like telling me not to do analogies. All right, no analogies today, boys.
Don't interrupt. No Tausch interruptions.
Jason Wilde telling people to be concise. What world are we living in? All right.
You're pissing me off.
Can't say that.
No, he can. It's okay.
Well, I guess you can. I can't. All right, fair enough.
Let's go to Eric in Green Bay. Eric, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Morning, doing good. How are you?
I am regretting the fact that I missed the opportunity. I see this from Zachary Jacobson, and we'll get to your call, but I'm going to be verbose again just to prove Tausch's point. Did you see what Kirby Joseph tried to do to Tucker Kraft? Did you see?
Take his knees out?
Yeah.
Oh, and that bounce up was, yeah.
And the bounce up was sick. That was impressive.
Oh, that was good. That was good.
It's called kipping, which I unfortunately can't do, which is too bad.
Need a really strong core. I got some gymnasts in the house that can do it. All right, we'll get to Kirby Joseph, because that is – he already, as Zachary Jacobson points out on Twitter, he also did this to T.J. Hockenson and Tyler Higbee, two other tight ends who suffered knee injuries because of
it. And in fairness, and listen, it is dirty. It's what the league is telling these guys to do. It is.
Yeah, you're right.
So
fair.
You can say what you want. It's you go up at the head, you're getting suspended, and you miss games. You go at the knees, you blow guys' knees out. You don't want to do it, but that's kind of what the league is telling you to do. I hate it, but it is what it is.
Eric, what do you got for us, buddy?
All right, Jason. Well, I can follow directions, so I'll keep it short and sweet. Positives, red zone offense. Negatives, red zone defense.
So how much of it, Eric, though, how much do you acknowledge, though, because here's my issue with this, and you can call me a Jeff Hafley stan if you want, but these guys are really freaking good, right? Like,
They take four downs to do it.
Yeah, I guess my struggle is that, look, the defense came up with two colossal plays, right? It's not a stupid decision by Campbell to go for it unless they figure out a way to stop it and force them to give the ball over at the 30-yard line, which they did. And Keyshawn Nixon's interception was a damn impressive interception. Yeah. I mean, that was a really, really good play by him. So my question is, Eric, what's your expectation for the defense when they're playing an offense of this level?
I mean, you're right. It's incredibly hard. I think the stat I saw was they scored fourth down touchdowns against us in two games. And when you're 4 or 5 on fourth down, obviously, like, if you're going to get it 4 or 5 times, you're going to go for it. And they're a really, really hard offense to stop there. I think that's probably the difference in the game. And it kind of lifting red zone offense as a positive, getting 4 touchdowns and 5 drives. And the fact that we were able to put up 4 7s and then that field goal, that's the reason why we even came back and were in this game and made it so competitive. I think other teams are going to start looking at that more. They're incredibly hard to stop when you give them 4 plays. And when you have the guts to say, okay, and also the play calling with Johnson too, that we're going to get this. Yeah. Go for it.
Yeah. Obviously the defense wasn't good enough. We all agree on that, but man, That is a ridiculous offense. And by the way, thanks for the call, Eric. Tausch, let me ask you this quickly before we move to more calls. Is it Dan Campbell? And again, I don't want to take anything away from him because I was a doubter and I was wrong about him. But I am curious, when Ben Johnson is the coach of the Chicago Bears, does that make this offense and Dan Campbell a little less wow if he doesn't have a guy who is, as it would appear anyway, as elite as Ben Johnson is as a play caller and as an offensive coordinator?
Ben Johnson is what makes that offense go. And It's one thing to go and do these fourth downs and, you know, do all this aggressive stuff. But it works because Ben Johnson understands the flow. I mean, he calls a really good game. He understands what's going on, and he has a really good offensive line to be able to execute it. That's really what this comes down to. So it's a team effort by all those guys. Dan Campbell believes in him. But when he leaves, it's definitely going to be different. And are you going to be as aggressive if you don't have the same faith in a play caller that Dan Campbell believes 100% what Ben Johnson's doing? Is that going to be the case move? I don't know. But that's why this is successful. And it puts a ton of pressure on a defense because you're always looking at it, get three and out, get off the field. Well, that's not how the Detroit Lions play. Mm-hmm. And to their credit, again, he knew field goals weren't going to win this game. He went for it. He was aggressive on fourth down from the three, from the five, and it worked. Is it always going to? No. But that's their brand of ball, and it worked last night.
Speaking of brands, you accused me of stealing your shtick, so tell us a little bit about what Quick Trip has going on right now and if the potatoes are still for sale.
Potatoes are always for sale, well, at least for another couple weeks. Potatoes for sale. You guys know I love Quick Trip. I go there, I get the chicken. Luckily or unluckily, maybe it depends on how you look at it. I was going to be eating rotisserie chicken today, but they did score a bunch of points. You got rotisserie chickens, $5.99 on Mondays. Breaded succulent tenders on Wednesdays. And, of course, they got the Quickery white bread. You have all the other stuff. The Don's pizza's 4 for $10. Everything you're looking for. And they got this fun little deal during Christmas, getting all these extra specials. Head over. Use your Quick Rewards app. You can get it brought out to your curbside. Whatever your heart desires. Quick Trip's got everything you need. And it's at a great price. QuickTrip.com.
We'll see you next time. More of your calls and texts, 844-770-3776. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
Is this a sign of our, dare I say, popularity? There's a bunch of, like, Lions trolls in the Dwellers division.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Like, there's Lions fans who, like, Typical. Have shown up, and, it, you know, they're like, assembling on the border, and then they're coming across.
Are we now at the point where we hate the Lions the most of everybody?
No.
I'm asking.
Jesse, I can't answer. I'm not a fan. You replied very quickly, though.
I think back to when my buddies and I made that January drive out there in, what was that, 2022? The end of the 2021 season.
Part of the COVID era.
The end of the 21 season when it was Dan Campbell's first year. They had 4 wins. And I made friends with Kyle in the 8th row or wherever we were sitting.
Brustin Nortman.
And I was just giving Kyle a bunch of griefs, telling him that I think Barry Sanders is overrated. I think Calvin Johnson could have extended his career further. Like, I was just, we were having fun. But I was legitimately asking him, like, what it's like to be a Lions fan. He said, it's just miserable, man. Like, it's the worst. Like, this team never is any good. And so they are living it up right now for the first time ever. And good for them for living it up. Like, I don't feel, I think. think they get to celebrate as much as they want. They get to live up the moment. I mean, as long as they keep it clean, like that's go for it.
Confronting
Jesse,
the head coach on the field.
This. Who is the Packers as of what is today? I don't have my calendar in front of me.
December 6th. Whatever,
December 6th. Which of these teams is our biggest rival? And it's a little palmy, no doubt, but the Detroit Lions win this poll in a runaway, even though they have for 40 years, my whole life, they've been a distant third the entire time. They started climbing last year, and now they're at the top of the list because they're a good football team. That's what the rivalry comes down to, even more than geography and family. It's, are they in our way? And right now they are.
Minnesota's 10-2.
Don't matter.
Yeah, let's see what happens.
Detroit wins this thing in a rout. I'm telling you.
Eager to see what happens on the field on December 29th at U.S. Bank Stadium. One more thing before we get to our next calls. Can we all just agree? Despite the officiating, if you want to get riled up about that, I get it. Despite whatever you think of how dirty the Lions may or may not be, I still, the play where Amon-Ra St. Brown knocks Xavier McKinney's helmet off and there's not a illegal hands to the face penalty is beyond me. But can we all agree that the Lions are just right now a better team? Like, is it as simple as that? Doesn't mean that they'll be the better team if they meet in the playoffs and that given Sunday or Saturday, but can we agree they're just better? Not a lot better, but certainly better. Yes?
Yes. Yes, they're better. Okay. As we sit here today, they're better.
All right. Want to make sure we're all on the same page. Let's get to a couple more calls, and then we'll do it all throughout the 10 and 11 o'clock hours as well.
Just for the record, though, I'm taking Jordan Love 100 out of 100 times over Jared Goff. I don't know if I can make that point clear.
Yeah, I think you have, and I think you're right. All right, let's go across the border to Michigan, not to Canada. Let's go to Michigan and talk to Johnny in Michigan. Now, wait. Johnny, are you a Packers fan calling from Michigan, or are now we have trolls calling from Michigan? State your business.
Okay, listen, I am a diehard Packers fan.
Okay,
have been my whole life, and I want that to be very clear. I want you to remember that when I say what I'm about to say. I'm not a plant. I am not a troll.
It's a wilderness caveat. I love
yes. Hedging.
Okay, so. If and when the Packers are eliminated this year, I am going to be pulling for the Detroit Lions to go on a run. And my reason is these Lions fans that I'm surrounded by every day, yes, they're obnoxious. Yes, they're wrong most of the time about football. But they are adorable. This winning thing is so new to them. It's just cute to see. They're my friends. And so if and when the Packers are eliminated, I will pull for the Lions for the remainder of this season only. To be clear, after this season, I hope Jared Goff comes back to earth. I hope that, you know, balance is restored in the universe. Maybe they start drug testing head coaches and Dan Campbell has to take a vacation. But for this year only, I will be pulling for my friends to be able to celebrate their first Super Bowl victory. The city of Detroit will probably burn down and that's my take. I know it's controversial. Please don't revoke my Packers card.
Johnny, it's great. This is a great
it's such
call.
Such a great question. Jesse, cut that audio and run it and see if our fans agree with him.
Let me ask you.
I'm generally, Maddie, whoever's back there today.
Sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I am genuinely interested in that because I thought I'd hold this until next week, and I still will. But
it's because you're leaving at 11:15.
I felt like, no, there's just too much today. I felt the same way, but I think that has changed.
Johnny, would you agree that the guy on the field getting after LaFleur was not adorable, which was a great word? By
okay,
me.
Okay, yes. And that's what I'm saying. Like they are obnoxious. They are it's just too much all the time. But I'll tell you what, my life is way worse when the Packers beat the Lions.
All right, well, we appreciate...
Everyone's just happy around me today, and when the Packers beat the Lions, it's the crying Dan Campbell's coming out to blame the officiating, and my life would be much harder this week if the Packers would have won.
I just want you to know you're getting killed in the YouTube comments. Thanks for the call, Johnny. Great call, buddy.
Who the hell gives a whether Ben Russell's face?
Oh, what a great call. All right, we'll get some more of your calls. So Sean, Tim, Brian, Dave, Dave, Terry, stay there. We will get to you at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Want to remind you, actually, I think it's Tausch's turn. I'm trying to juggle some things here. Tausch, you got to tell us about Coors Light before I forget.
Oh, I had a Coors Light. Vonnie had a little tequila last night. Old T had a little Coors Light. Yeah, we had a heck of a night. And it is always Coors Light when you need a moment to chill. Make sure that those cans, make sure that those mountains are blue. That's when you know Coors Light is chilled to perfection. It's always Coors Light in my hand when I'm looking to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, a Golden, Colorado.
All right, quick two-minute timeout, and then back to your calls at the top of the 10 o'clock hour. Stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.